On today's show, senior scam alert. How many seniors were sold on a supposedly risk-free retirement vehicle and are now facing foreclosure? We'll tell you what potentially dangerous financial product it is and who got hit hardest. Plus, our second headline, save $1 million by foregoing coffee and joy of any kind in this soulless world. That's the exact verbatim headline, by the way. We will tell you which hugely famous money guru the writer is referring to and why your life apparently needs to be so miserable if you want to have $1 million. Spoiler alert, we are not buying it, but you will love this piece. Those two headlines plus the big idea tying them all together on today's Money with Friends. Welcome to Money with Friends. I am certified financial planner Bobby Rebel from the Financial Grown Up Podcast, coming to you from my very grown up kitchen in New York City.
And from Detroit, Michigan, where we make the Stacky Benjamin Show, I'm Joe Saul Sehy.
This is the show where we take the big headlines, talk about them with our friends, and learn how we can learn from them to live richer lives. We top it all off with one big idea to set us all up for success.
I was looking forward to the Saturday show, because we get to talk about Acre Trader. This show is brought to you by Acre Trader, Farmland Investing Simplified. Head to acretrader.com/MWF. We finally got that change. Thank you to Brent and Acre Trader for changing that. acretrader.com/MWF, which is Money with Friends. And you'll see more. We'll talk about Acre Trader more in the show.
You know, it wasn't on purpose, but I do feel that MWF is really easy to remember.
It is. And I was
kind of like that.
I was thinking if we were Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it would be like perfect, but we're not.
We're not.
Yes.
I don't know.
Tuesday, Thursday, well, Saturday, way more exciting.
You can listen on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, though.
You can.
That's the great thing of podcasts. It's there for you.
Yes. Listening Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, completely optional. I'm glad we're back together, Bobby, because we've got some exciting headlines today. This is going to be, well, sad on one end, and then we're going to end it with some fun.
Absolutely.
Let's see which of our friends is going to kick off the show.
Headlines ripped from the financial press, only at Money with Friends.
Our headline comes to us from USA Today. Man, when I sent this to you, Bobby, this put a pit in my stomach.
Totally.
This is written by Nick Penzenstadler and Jeff Kelly Lowenstein. Seniors were sold a risk-free retirement with reverse mortgages. Now they face foreclosure. Man, it's funny because before we even get into this, you hear about reverse mortgages all the time on the radio. You see them on TV. They're way more complicated than people think.
They are. I mean, look, there is a time and place for it, just like there is with other things that we talk about that are bad for many people, but not always, like annuities. There's a place for reverse mortgages, absolutely, but you need to really understand what you're signing up for. And to do that, very often people miss out on that, I should say, because they are sold this product by people that are looking for financial benefit for themselves, and the risks are not usually fully explained.
Yeah, it is tough. Let's jump into this here. This piece starts out in a stealth aftershock of the Great Recession. Nearly 100,000 loans that allowed senior citizens to tap into their home equity have failed, blindsiding elderly borrowers and their families and dragging down property values in their neighborhoods. In many cases, the worst toll has fallen on those ill-equipped to soldier it. Urban African Americans, many of whom worked for most of their lives, then found themselves struggling in retirement. Alarming reports from federal investigators 5 years ago led the Department of Housing and Urban Development to initiate a series of changes to protect seniors. USA Today's review of government foreclosure data found a generation of families fell through the cracks and continue to suffer from reverse mortgages written a decade ago. Those elderly homeowners were wooed into borrowing money through the special program by attractive sales pitches or a dire need for cash or both. When they missed a paperwork deadline or fell behind on taxes, taxes, or insurance, lenders move swiftly to foreclose on the home. Those foreclosures wiped out hard-earned generational wealth built in the decades since the Fair Housing Act of 1968. Leroy Roebuck, 86, rode the bus his entire career to a nearby curtain manufacturer. When he needed to make home repairs, he turned to reverse mortgages after seeing an ad on television. 10 years ago, he forgot to renew his homeowner's insurance, which cost about $2,000 a year, including fees and penalties. His loan servicer says he now owes, wait for it, $20,000. Roebuck's first foreclosure notice came in the mail 6 years ago, and he's still fighting to hold on to the brick walk-up he bought from his parents in 1970, living in it through a special health exemption to foreclosure. "I told my son never, they ain't going to take this house," Roebuck said. "I'll go to the deep blue sea. They're not going to take this house." Elderly homeowners and their adult children told similar stories in big city neighborhoods across the USA. Borrowers living near the poverty line in pockets of Chicago, Baltimore, Miami, Detroit, Philadelphia, Jacksonville, Florida are among the hardest hit, according to the first of its kind analysis of more than 1.3 million loan records. USA Today worked in partnership with Grand Valley State University with support from the McGraw Center for Business Journalism. Consumer advocates, and we'll leave this here for now, Bobby. Consumer advocates said the analysis supports what they've complained about for years, that unscrupulous lenders targeted lower-income Black neighborhoods and encouraged elderly homeowners to borrow money while glossing over the risks and requirements. USA Today found that reverse mortgages end in foreclosure six times more often in predominantly Black neighborhoods than in neighborhoods that are 80% white. Man. That's tough to stomach.
Yeah. First of all, it's 2019. So this, the racial stuff is just unacceptable. That's just horrible. And what also makes me cringe at the story is that this is generational wealth. So these are people that are the working, I hope, middle class, lower middle class, struggling, but they are working and they're proactively trying to do better financially. This is generational wealth. Very often these homes were inherited from their parents. And this is something that as a multi-generational family, they have been working towards having this financial base for them. And the fact that people came in and really took advantage of the fact that there were financial resources that they had built up over a generation, it's just heartbreaking. And I think that in terms of there just need to be more protections, the idea that they can come in and foreclose on one or two financial mistakes that these people are making, there just should be more of a safety net that to give them time to pay back a payment that they maybe just missed for whatever reason. We're all human. I missed a meeting with us today, Joe. I mean, people miss things all the time. We drop the ball. We're human. There needs to be a little bit of forgiveness. You can have a penalty. Say, okay, we're not going to foreclose, but you missed that $2,000 payment, which that gentleman made. You need to pay that, and then you need to pay this fine, whatever it may be. Or, you know, maybe we're gonna have to move your interest rate up a tiny little smidge. Okay, fine. Or we're going to have a one-time forgiveness. But foreclosing, that's predatory.
A lot of people listening or watching, because we do this live in front of a Facebook audience, and you can watch us on YouTube with us if you'd like. A lot of people might not even know what a reverse mortgage is. A reverse mortgage is you're taking the equity of your house and you are getting from that a payment monthly that is often explained to you that you can't outlive. And the sad truth of reverse mortgage is that it's very complicated. There can be a lot of fees. It's very easy for them to hide the fees in the reverse mortgage. The reverse mortgage business has, frankly, cleaned up a lot in the last 10 years, just a ton, to the point that when I had our mutual friend Jill Schlesinger was on Stacking Benjamins with her new book and was talking about different types of products you should avoid. And she said one of them was reverse mortgages. And I kind of fought her on it a little bit. And she agreed that they've cleaned up, but there's still so many marginal players, and you have to know what you're doing. And preying on the elderly is just, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting to see this. If you're going to go into a reverse mortgage, man, you gotta understand a lot to go into that product. I mean, people complain, Bobby, about annuities all the time and about how complex annuities can be, you know, and how fees can be hidden easily in annuities, which is true. Annuities are, I would say, 1/10 as complex as a reverse mortgage.
Yeah. And I think it's important that even if you are not a senior yourself, or you're not worried about sort of falling for this kind of reverse mortgage, again, not all reverse mortgages are a bad thing. They can be a great resource for a lot of people. It's important to talk to everyone in your, what I would call your family ecosystem, your family economic ecosystem, or even if you have friends that could potentially be targets of this kind of thing, because you want to look out for them. This is really a multi-generational scam, as I see it. I mean, these are people that are losing money that their parents had saved and put into a home and that their children now will not have. So it's very important, if you have older parents, to talk to them. There's actually a new book coming out. Cameron Huddleston has a book called Mom and Dad, We Need to Talk. She's going to be on my podcast. I'm sure she's going to be on yours, I think.
Yeah.
It's a great resource. I actually blurbed the book. I just remember that. Yeah. So I endorse the book. I think it's so important. It's really so important that you talk to different generations, that if you are the parents, that you tell your children what's going on in your financial life as is appropriate to you, but really think about making it appropriate to let them in so that they can be there as a backstop, because maybe something will sound good to you. Check in with the other generations of your family that have vested interests, even if it's just your love, you know, that just love you beyond the financial vested interests. This is multi-generational, and we need to pay attention to that. Yep.
We do this, as I mentioned, in front of a live Facebook audience. If you want to hang out with us, it's facebook.com/iStackBenjamins. That's the Stacking Benjamins Facebook page. But we've got a couple great comments here. Our friend Sandy, who was on the show this last week, Sandy from Yes, I Am Cheap, is hanging out with us. And she says, I think elderly people should have other people sitting with them because they might not understand what they're doing, or they might have issues with their capacity to understand. I think that's true, and kind of echoes exactly, Bobby, what you're talking about.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I think that it's a family ecosystem, and however you define family, I like to say, so your family may not be a blood relative, but whoever is in your life that you need to look out for, proactively look out for them.
I like this one from Bill as well. Bill says, reverse mortgages are beyond last resort. I want to talk about that in a second. But with high incidence of poor savings habits outside of home equity, it should unfortunately become a much more common issue. I think Bill really nails it. How many people have you met that say, listen, I'm saving into my house. My house is my retirement vehicle. That is the wrong approach, but it's still so prevalent.
Right. Well, it could be your retirement vehicle if you think you're going to sell your house and downsize, maybe. Markets, you have to remember that markets come and go. Right now, some real estate markets can be very weak. So the amount of cash that you, the equity you have in your home can certainly, first of all, change, which is where some people in this story get caught, is their home is not worth as much as what it was when they set up the reverse mortgage. So that's a danger. Although the truth is, you know, in theory, if you're buying low and you're if you're selling your home low and you're buying the new residence low, that can work.
Yeah, right.
You know, because the market is the market you buy and sell into at the same time is kind of the same.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of a reverse mortgage, you want to just, you know, sell your home, take the cash, and then buy a new home using a smaller percentage of that. And then you have some liquidity. That might be an easier way. And you might be really happy to be in, you know, a nice new smaller apartment versus the upkeep of a big house. That might be a better way to go for some people. There's transaction costs, of course, but.
That low works best if you're moving not far away, because to some degree, right. As you know, real estate is regional.
Totally.
But if you're moving locally, hey, if one mm-hmm. thing's low, they're probably all going to be low. Bill says he reverse mortgages are beyond last resort. I want to talk about when to use them, because I totally agree with Bill. I would only turn when I was a financial planner. I would only turn to reverse mortgages when there was nowhere else to turn. And it's somebody that knows they want to stay in their house for the rest of their life. That's a key, right? You're not going to move. And you also know that you have significant cash inside of that house. If you've got those two things and you're short of money, and then you have somebody who can sit with you that can understand and kind of suss out where the fees are, inside of that reverse mortgage to make sure you're not getting completely taken advantage of. Reverse mortgages can be an okay thing for that person with nowhere else to turn.
Agreed. We ready for takeaways?
Deal. You want to go first?
Yes. This is a multi-generational scam. This is about the past and future of family wealth. And if you are not older, pay attention, be in touch with the seniors in your life and know what they are doing. And yes, talk to mom and dad, like Cameron Huddleston says.
Yeah. How often does this, this is my takeaway, how often does this come down to your team? I love this idea that you are the dumbest person in the room with your team. And if you can hook yourself up with people, whether it's relatives or people that are just friends that can help you with some of this stuff, it's going to make it just another set of eyes, no matter who it is, can hopefully get rid of some of these problems that we see, because this is awful.
Well said. Agreed. Headline. All right. Let's go to this headline. Save $1 million by foregoing coffee and joy of any kind in this soulless world. And this is from Eater, and it's by a writer named Jenny Zhang. And Jenny, I just hope I can do this article justice, because it is so well written and with such accuracy, importance, and yet humor. So here we go. This is for Jenny. Listen to Susie Orman and rid yourself of all materialites, you piece of garbage. That's Jenny speaking, not me, Jenny.
It sounds like it's Susie speaking.
I don't know. But anyway, I just want to say, Jenny Zhang, great job writing this.
Yes.
Okay. Baby boomer financial analysts have made it clear. Millennials are terrible with money. We can't afford the avocado toast and iced coffees we buy to bring a small spark of joy to the long work days, which we supplement at night by driving for Uber or delivering for Postmates so we can pay off our student loan debt. Instead of putting away money in an IRA, we are spending upwards of $15 a month to numb our brains with an endless stream of Netflix, anything to keep us distracted as the world inches ever nearer to complete and total destruction. Among the latest to point this out is Susie Orman, personal finance expert and television host whose entrepreneurial history includes receiving an interest-free $50,000 loan from friends to open a restaurant and launching a prepaid debit card, controversial for its hidden fees aimed at financially vulnerable consumers. In a CNBC clip that aired in March, but this is only now, it's only now incurring outrage on social media, Orman suggests brewing Java at home instead of buying it every day. Quote, you spend $1 to $3 on a cup of coffee, which is approximately $100 a month. $100 a month, by the way, that would be $3 a day, but okay. $100 a month in a Roth IRA over 40 years is $1 million. So you need to think about it as you are, I'm sorry to say this, this is Jenny Zhang writing. You need to think about that as you are peeing $1 million down the drain after you are drinking that coffee. First of all, now back, that's the end of the quote from Susie Orman. So this is Jenny Zhang, the writer at Eater, saying this again. First of all, $1 to $3 is an affordable estimate. So thank you, Susie, for assuming we're even that financially responsible. Unfortunately, her calculations also suggest that money will exist in 40 years and we won't be bartering gold fillings for access to water. But let's say, optimistically, that she's right. We're not all doomed to become Immortan Joe's war boys. What Susie advises is that we think more about wants versus needs. Quote, if you simply used your money to purchase needs versus wants, you would find the money to invest in your retirement account. You would find the money to get yourself out of credit card debt. You are really just wasting money, unquote. So that was the quote, presumably from Susie. Back to Jenny. This is at least partially true. Everyone could spend more responsibly, though blaming our current financial peril entirely on small indulgences like coffee ignores the modern hellscape that our boomer parents hath wrought. But here we go, falling into those other terrible millennial traps, blaming and complaining. So in the spirit of pulling oneself up from their bootstraps, here are some other tips for saving money. You ready, Joe? She's got seven tips. Brace yourself. Ready?
Ready.
Okay. Number one. If you must enjoy a meal out with loved ones, skip the Lyft or Uber and walk to the restaurant. Not only will you save money, but that 40-minute to two-hour walk counts towards your daily steps. Number two, kidding, of course, never go to a restaurant. Number three, you know how you and your friends all share Netflix passwords? That, but with utensils, plates, and other dishes.
Right.
No single person needs their own place setting. Maybe even consider moving your whole crew into one room squat where you can all eat out of the same bowl for maximum convenience and savings.
It sounds like
number four. Go ahead.
It sounds like, by the way, this isn't an Eater article. It sounds like this is like a super hardcore fire article.
I know. I love this girl. Okay. Number four, anything edible can be frozen. And according to the laws of science, will never go bad once Jack Frost has laid his icy fingers on it. Freeze everything. Pizza, leftover soup, wilting greens, week-old cooking oil into popsicles. cooking oil can be a popsicle, Joe. Mm. Really, into popsicles for cheap, easy snacking that won't require extra energy to reheat. Note, ideally, you have sold your stove. Number 5, save your avocado pits. Acquire a small plot of land and create a low-level avocado Ponzi scheme. Repress any guilt over scamming. Repress any guilt over scamming less savvy millennial brethren out of their savings. Home ownership, here you come. Number 6, master lucid dreaming. All right, so you can't enjoy a latte or the occasional burrito bowl in everyday life. That's what our own consciousness is for. In other words, just dream about what you can't have. Yeah, and number 7, to wrap it up, rid yourself of all human joy and desire. Repeat the mantra, needs, not wants, over and over again until you feel yourself shedding your humanity like a snake skin. Only once you have been reduced to little more than an automation motivated by the soulless accumulation of wealth, a capitalist, will you know true financial happiness. Thank you, Jenny Zhang.
So fantastic.
There we go, Joe. That was a mouthful, but I really felt we had to read that that piece justified being read.
Never go to a restaurant ever again.
Ever again. That way you won't have to walk to it. You don't need to save money going to a restaurant. Don't skimp there. Just don't ever go to a restaurant.
What's funny is that obviously, in truth, I agree with Susie here. I mean, there is a truth to this, that you're wasting money on stuff that you don't really care about right now, right? Because let's get over the fact that this is Susie Orman at all. This is base, and it was probably somebody before who I'm going to quote, but this is basic Vicky Robin. Stop trading your time for things that you don't care about. Because if I don't care about this microphone, you know, and don't need the microphone, why am I buying that? Because I have to trade hours of my life to bring it into my life. So bring things bring things into your life that you really care about. And we don't think about that enough. But still, that is it makes me feel like, though, we're sick of hearing that message, right? I mean, this piece says that has become a cliche. This whole needs versus wants, whatever, dude, cut out the latte. We've heard it so much that now we're just poking our eye out going, please stop telling me the same message over and over.
I mean, I think this comes down to, like, just use common sense. If you just spend mindlessly, when you look up, there's not going to be anything left. So look, a million people have said this. I'm obviously thinking of David Bach at the Latte Factor, but it's always pay yourself first. Easier said than done in some ways, but try to automate it at the very least. Your 401k and those kind of retirement vehicles, just have it come out of your paycheck. Set up that you do more than, you know, add a 1% every year. So if you're set up to do 6% this year, you can automate that without doing anything. It'll pop you up to 7% next year. You can always go back if something's happening. You can always scale it back, but just do those things and then go live your life. And the thing with a coffee is, I would say, rather than don't have the coffee, have the $1 coffee. One of our listeners here, viewers here on Facebook pointed out, you can get $1 coffee at McDonald's. No affiliation with McDonald's, not affiliating, not endorsing them. I've never had a coffee. Maybe I'll check it out. But $1 coffee at McDonald's and versus a $5 latte at Starbucks. Again, no hating on Starbucks either. Just saying.
But McDonald's,
you've cut your cost by 80%.
McDonald's or Starbucks, if you want to sponsor the show, Joe at StackyBenjamins.com. Very happy to talk positively about
absolutely. We'll have branded coffee cups here if you guys want to come on board. But yeah, but so I would say instead of cutting it out, say, okay, do I need Starbucks or this McDonald's actually good too? And that's if you do $1 versus $5, you've cut 80%. And I also think that the whole coffee thing, if you're going to meet up with friends, if you can have coffee for $3 versus having a meal and feel just as happy because it's really about meeting up and being social. A meal might be $30. Go have coffee and have the same hour with your friends and spend a lot less.
Yeah. I, you know, thinking just about financial literacy and thinking about financial voices, I often get frustrated about the fact that there are so many fun voices out there who are not heard. And yet, an article like this makes me think that coming from somebody different than Susie Orman, the message is more heard. And even though she's affected far more people than most people in the financial industry have, you think about how important it is to have the right person sharing the right message and how, you know, maybe Susie's not talking to younger people with a piece like this.
Right.
Maybe she's not reaching them. They're sick of, you know, they reached her parents or their parents, but not reaching the next person. So somebody like Bitches Get Riches, who are kind of, they're so fun, you know, and you look at what Aaron Lowry's doing. Some people like that.
Yeah.
That are really making it fun for different people. Finding your muse to say, because they say the same stuff. They just say it a little more, I don't know, sassy.
You have to find the voice that's right for you, the right person. And Susie Orman really resonated, if we're being honest, with a different generation. And she's around now and her message can be very valuable to certain people. But everyone should find the right person. And that's why there's lots of different people in this space. And that's a wonderful thing.
I think the big thing,
you can listen to us too.
That's right. Because we're phenomenal. We're the best.
Just saying.
Yes. Just so you know, we're the best. You're welcome. The thing that I think about also, though, and this isn't just Susie or Dave Ramsey or any of those people. I'm even thinking about a guy named Bruce Williams, who used to be a big deal on late night radio doing finance. But the old style of finance used to be that you do a call-in show, and the sexy thing to do was to get yelled at, right? And so getting yelled at on national radio or national TV was, and I don't think we want to be yelled at about our money anymore. I get this feeling that, and you hear this when people complain about Dave too. They're like, all he does is gets angry at people that call in. Frankly, by the way, if I had people calling in asking me the same question over and over and over 5 days a week, I'd be angry too.
Well, he's chosen not to change the conversation
after his career. No, and true, and he knows his audience, right? He knows exactly what role he fills, and that role he does very well at. But I also get this feeling there's a bunch of people that just don't want to be yelled at anymore. They're just like,
and they should find the right people.
Yeah, yeah. Don't make me feel bad about my money. Be uplifting.
We don't yell at people. They should listen to us.
Well, unless you pay us enough, then I'm very happy to yell at you. No,
I won't yell at you.
I'm joking. All right. Our takeaways here. You went first last time, so I'll go first here. It still is needs versus wants. This is all about the messenger. I think the piece was hilarious. But it still comes back to this is still right on. Focus on your needs. If you don't have enough for your needs, then let go of some of the wants.
And I would say, let's laugh a little at this extremist talk. It doesn't have to be so extreme. Do what's right for you, and just focus on your own life and what's important to you. And if you want to have a coffee, that's fine. But just understand that mindless spending in whatever form it takes in your life is going to have an impact.
You're so much
nicer. And have a sense of humor about this stuff, too.
You're so much nicer than I am about all this stuff.
I don't yell at people.
In just a second, we're going to do the big idea, which is Bobby and I talking about Susie ranting on one side, and on the other side, we're going to talk about scams against elderly and foreclosures on reverse mortgages. How are we going to put those two together? We'll have that in a second. And if you're with us here live, feel free to give us yours, see how we're going to do this. And while we're waiting for those, I want to tell you a little bit more about AcreTrader. AcreTrader, Bobby, has changed the front of their website just a little bit. And I thought that we'd take a look at this. They talk on the front page about how you make money two ways when you invest in farmland. That's what they do at AcreTrader. Your land value increases over time. And number two, you get these annual cash rent payments from farmers. And when we look at the fact that land is a hard asset, people compare that with investments in things like precious metals. And if you look at over the long term, and by the way, there's some asterisks over these because I get reticent whenever I see numbers like this. But farmland average annual return over long periods of time, 11.5%. That is a healthy number. By the way, that's not what I would expect. This is not them talking. This is Joe. Not what I would expect. I wouldn't put that into my plan, but I do like them because of the fact that it's consistent and boring returns. Versus gold at 5.4% over time. So when you're comparing hard assets, that's one thing. Second thing is there's no leverage applied here. So people get into trouble when they leverage. We saw that obviously in 2007, 2008 with other real estate investments. This has none of that. Of course, it's low volatility, that attractive yield, and it's a good inflation hedge. That and more. You can learn more about it if you head to acretrader.com/MWF, Money with Friends. That's acretrader.com/MWF for more. All right. Let's jump into the big idea here, Bobby. You want to go first?
Sure. We'll save the best for last, Joe.
No. Mine's all right. Never as good. It's always a letdown when we do it this way.
My big idea. While it is important to listen and learn from people who may know more than you, realize that in the end, you are the only one who is going to be there facing the number in your bank account when you retire. It sure sounds like seniors were taken advantage of, and the banks involved very well may have been predatory. So if someone approaches you or a family member, and that part is key, a family member, think about their angle. They make some money if you do the reverse mortgage. They may also make more money if they foreclose. But either way, they really don't care about your retirement. They care about their profit. So look out for yourself and look out for everyone in your family ecosystem. Susie Orman has helped so many people, but part of her way to make money is to get attention, to sell all of her products. So she does say things that might be right, but she's saying them in a very dramatic way. She's trying to get that clickbait. That doesn't mean that she's not well-intentioned also, but it doesn't mean that you need to listen to exactly what she says in a literal sense. You might resonate with someone else. The fact that if you live a very bare minimum life and you save all your money, if you do that, the truth is, Susie's right. You will have more if you live very bare bones and never have that dollar cup of coffee. But that doesn't mean that is what you should do. It's just an option. Susie's way will likely get many people to the goal she is talking about, which is simply having $1 million. But it also means sacrificing so much of what is fun in life for many people. But what is that really your goal, is my point. Susie will get you to $1 million if you follow her advice. But are you okay maybe having a little less and enjoying your life along the way? That is your decision, not Susie's decision. So be aware of the goals of the person who is giving you information. That's my big idea. Be aware of where they're coming from, and then do what's right to get you to your financial goals.
Yours is, I always feel like mine's such a letdown after yours. I totally do.
But, so not true, Joe. So not true. Share some of your brilliance with us, please. No.
But here we go. I got lucky this last weekend by being able to have a father-son weekend with my dad at 51 years old. That doesn't happen very much. My dad doesn't move around very easily these days. However, we decided to spend a weekend out at a place called Michigan International Speedway watching NASCAR together. Now, while you might not be a fan of racing, I think you'll appreciate this. Every team has a pit crew chief, and the gentleman that was running in third place in one of the races that we watched, they were running very carefully, and the crew chief radioed out to his driver. We had radios, which changes the whole race, by the way. On the radio, the pit crew chief said early on, he said, "We're going to be really conservative now because we might have to be really aggressive later. We're going to be very conservative now because we might have to be very aggressive later." And if we think about that in life, this happens to a lot of us, doesn't it? I mean, Susie Orman in our second piece, she's talking a lot about this. She's like, look at your needs versus your wants and stop wasting money. And it's only be more conservative now in case you need to be aggressive later. And while this idea of elderly people being scammed by reverse mortgages is absolutely horrible. There, I've seen people take out reverse mortgages because of the fact that they were aggressive early in their life, too aggressive, and they had nowhere else to turn. So they had to turn to their house. Like Bill in our audience said, it's a last resort. So certainly my big idea doesn't address a big piece of this. And please don't send me a letter. We don't want to scam some people that really, really need our support and our help, the elderly in America. But if you're somebody who is younger and you're being very aggressive now, you're living it backwards. By the way, Bobby, the guy that we're talking about, conservative now so we can be aggressive later, they got really aggressive with about 20 laps to go. They did something that nobody else was doing, and they won the race. And it was a thrilling race, and that strategy worked. And I thought it was just a great analogy for what we talk about here all the time.
Well said, Joe.
Well, almost.
You're holding your own.
Almost as good as yours. I'm just trying to keep up.
I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was great.
Well, thank you. We'll have more brilliance. If you're watching us live, we're going to have more brilliance here in about 20 minutes because we're going to do another one of those, one of these. And by the way, once again, if you want to hang out with us live while we make these, head to our Facebook page head to our website where we keep a calendar of when we record these. Head to moneywithfriendspodcast.com, or it's just moneywithfriends.net, right?
You can do moneywithfriends.net, moneywithfriends.org, or moneywithfriendspodcast.com.
Awesome.
All of those will get you there. Trying to make it easy.
Go stack some Benjamins, everybody. I'm Joe Saul-Sehy.
and go be grownups. Bye-bye.
This show is created and hosted by Josal Sihai and Bobby Rebel and is a joint venture of BRK Media LLC and Stacking Benjamins LLC, copyright 2019. Our engineer is Caden Thompson. And for a list of our friends who appear on the podcast, head to our website, moneywithfriendspodcast.com. You can also check out our schedule for upcoming recording sessions so you can join us and be part of the show. As with anything, remember you shouldn't take advice from any of us or any other video or podcast without first talking to your financial advisor, and that the people in this episode are here for your and their entertainment purposes only. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you back here next time with a real episode of Money with Friends.